Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Rob Cohen, Director of NITAC. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Tom Berkey. So, Rob, a lot of folks who are listening are familiar with governmental business functions like finance, accounting, IT, information technology, but maybe not so familiar with procurement as a function. So could you perhaps give us a high-level overview of what procurement actually is?
So procurement to me is more of a team effort. It takes the program side, it takes the contracting side, it takes the advisors within, chief information officers, needs. It's really a function that is driven by teamwork. There's no central person you go to and say, here's a procurement, go make this happen. There's an awful lot of work that goes into a procurement before it hits the street. There's an awful lot of back and forth. There's a lot of, the program people are involved, the finance people are involved, the contracting people are involved. So it is a complex environment within the government in the acquisition and procurement, in the acquisition and procurement world, especially when it has to do with IT,
yeah.
Because there are so many different requirements that come with IT. There's cybersecurity requirements. There are FISMA requirements. There are, a whole bunch of 508 compliance requirements. I mean, it's a very complex environment that we're working in. So one of the things that we try to do is as a program is to provide that support to that team at that agency that's looking to meet a challenge. So we're always open to and encourage those customers out there to reach out to us and say, hey, we got this challenge, but we don't know where to start. Or we got this challenge and we're halfway there. Can you help us? So we have a staff of people that are, warranted contracting officers, as well as people who have been working in the IT arena for 20 or 30 years with that experience. And we have templates of similar types of transactions that have taken place over many, many years. So we were able to provide them that support. And that's really what we're there for. I mean, we're a support organization, and we like to spend time with our customers providing that support, whether it's a one question you have or whether it's a 5 or 6 month effort that you have going, and we're going to be there to provide you that support, developing the statement of work and developing the source selection criteria and how it's going to work. Because, we have built an infrastructure within our program that is there to provide that support. And we have that in-depth knowledge from many, many years of doing this. And that's the type of program that I want to run, is one that can provide that full gamut of support to our customers.
And when you say support, you're talking about mission support, because what you're affording these folks who are running programs is an opportunity to focus more on their mission outcomes.
Absolutely.
Because you're helping them deliver those.
So, we're trying to help them deliver it. We're trying to help them to deliver it on time. We're trying to build some speed into the process. But we're also trying to develop and get some strong quality into the process. I mean, developing that trust with our customers is very important to us, and the integrity of the process to ensure that, they're getting what they need, but they trust that what they're getting from us is value.
NITAC seeks to be a one-stop shop for information technology, IT acquisitions. Would you briefly highlight your key strategic goals and priorities that comprise the NITAC acquisition strategy?
Sure. So, as I mentioned earlier, that we have awarded the CIO SP3 contracts 2 or 3 years ago, which was really to focus on the more customized solutions and services type transactions that our customers need. So just recently now we've awarded the CIOCS vehicle, which is to address the more tactical IT needs when it comes to cloud and type solutions, as well as those general product services, related managed services. So we believe that we have built an infrastructure in which any agency can come to us to meet any type of IT. So we like to say that it's everything IT. We're the one shop in the GWAC community that can provide you with those more complex IT service solutions, but also those more less complex commercial fixed price solutions. But on top of that, now we've also developed an assisted acquisition program within our office. And that is a program that we have that for those agencies out there who need support from a contracting perspective, that their contracting staff may be inundated with an enormous workload, which most of them are. So they'll be able to come to us and ask us, can you help support this acquisition from cradle to grave? Can you help develop the acquisition strategy? Can you help develop, you know, the acquisition planning and then do the actual contracting and working with our warranted contracting officers to award those types of task and delivery orders? So we do believe that we've come to a point where we have a full program to be able to support every need that an agency may have. And those services are available, and they're available to the entire government to use. You know, some people may need all of those services, and some people may need just some of those services, but we are there to support them with whatever they do need.
NITAC is managing the longest-running IT GWAC vehicle in the country. What are some of your lessons learned over the first several CIO SP3 or SP contract generations that have now been incorporated into the current CIO SP3?
Yeah, so we are one of the first GWACs that was created back in 1996 working with OMB. There have been many iterations of those contracts. We are now in the third iteration of the CIO SP3 GWACs. We've learned an enormous about building the infrastructure to be able to support our customers through building IT systems that make it easier for our customers to be able to, you know, get their orders out quickly and to be able to make sure that the integrity is built into the process by using our IT systems that walks them through every step of the requirement and ensures that they're meeting all the FAR requirements throughout the entire process. But basically, the iterations of the contracts have evolved to meet the new and ever-changing IT needs. So that is how we built these contracts. Like the CIOCS contract we just recently awarded has changed dramatically from the ECS3 contract that it's replacing. The ECS3 contract was mainly focused on selling products and selling those related services and installation services for those types of products. But we wanted to build a contract that would be sustainable and relevant for the next 10 years because we see IT changing dramatically. It's not just changing dramatically from year to year. It's changing dramatically from day to day. So we built in criteria to ensure that those contract holders, those 65 contract holders that were recently awarded this vehicle, had to show their relevance and how they can be relevant over the next 10 years to meet those ever-changing challenges that the government has. So we believe that, you know, constantly evolving is, and as I said, you know, constant change to meet those needs is very, very important to our program success.
Well, Rob, you've mentioned that your program is akin to running a business. So a business typically has competitors. Since we're talking about the CIO SP3 vehicle, what competitors do you have out there? What makes the new generation of this vehicle special?
My philosophy is that we really don't have competitors. We have challenges. If you look across the landscape of the IT procurement throughout the federal government of about $80 billion a year, there's about less than 10% of that goes through all of the GWAC programs.
Less than 10?
A year.
Wow.
Right. So so our challenge is, and our competition is to influence all of those types of transactions that are not going through the GWACs in working closely with GSA and the NASA SUE program to educate the buying community to show that there is a lot of value in this, and that this is a very valid option for them to look at when they do have an IT procurement come across their desk. So our biggest competitor is the unknown, is all of those transactions that are being done through you know, full and open competition and through other mechanisms. And the other big challenge, and this is a big challenge that OMB has been dealing with for many, many years, is the proliferation of contracting. There's a lot of duplication in contracting out there. You know, there are contracts out there that are being built to look just like our contracts at different agencies. So we're trying to educate those agencies and get in front of them and say, listen, you really don't need to make that $1 million investment or whatever it is to build your own vehicle. When you could come to our vehicle and I can provide you, you know, all of the things you're going to get from your own vehicle and then some. I can provide you with reporting of what you're buying. And I can tell you on a monthly basis everything that your agency has bought, who they bought it from, and how much they're paying for it. The infrastructure that's been built into these vehicles over the past 20 years provides that mechanism of being able to do that reporting. It's very, very difficult for an agency to stand up a standalone multiple award contract to meet a certain IT need that they have and to be able to invest in that infrastructure. You know, although that those customers do need to pay a small fee to use these types of vehicles, these government-wide acquisition contracts, it in no way compares to the investment they have to make when they go out there and develop their own vehicles. And I don't say that they're doing anything wrong. They're just doing what they think they need to do in order to meet their agency's challenge. So our goal is to get out there and to educate. It's constant education.
Rob, what advantage does CIOSP3 have being a solutions contract and by definition allows for both services and products combined, while most, if not all, ITGWAC/IDIQs are strictly services or products-based but do not allow for both?
Right. So when we built our vehicles, we spent a lot of time going around and talking to our federal customers. We're talking to the CIOs. We're talking to industry, and we're talking to those manufacturers who are developing these evolving IT needs that they anticipate the government having, or they're basically coming up with the needs before the government even knows they're going to need them. So, you know, when we did that, we learned that building vehicles, they need to have an enormous amount of flexibility in them. Customers are looking for flexibility. They're looking to be able to pool things together and buy things the way they want to buy them. They don't want to have to go to two or three different vehicles to meet a challenge. They want to be able to go to one vehicle, and they want to be able to say, on this one vehicle, can I get this, this, and this? And so we wanted to build a vehicle that allowed them to do it. That's why all of our vehicles are solution-based vehicles. So yes, you can come to the CIOSP3 vehicles, and you can buy an enormous amount of labor services for IT infrastructure or whatever it may be. But you also may need to buy the stuff that goes with that in order to install it and to make the full solution happen for you. So similar to CIOCS, in a fixed price environment, being able to buy the product but also get the installation, get the software as a service that you want on those products, and to build that full suite of a task or delivery order that's going to, to drive efficiencies into the process because, as I said, contracting officials throughout the government have an enormous amount of transactions to process in a given year. And if we can build contracts for them that they're able to do it in a more efficient way, with those flexibilities built in, that they can add, their own agency terms and conditions in there, they can add specific terms and conditions that meet that specific requirement, that's what we're trying to do.
The other thing you tried to do and you've done, and you mentioned it earlier, is the CIOSP3 version of the contract, the vehicle, it's the first time you introduced a separate and distinct small business contract option. And I wanted to understand what went into that decision making and how successful has that been thus far?
So that is something that, as I said, I'm very passionate about the small businesses because I believe that the engine that drives this economy is small business. And all the time that I spent at the Small Business Administration became enormously passionate about helping small businesses grow and succeed. So when I came to the program is when we were starting to develop these new contracts, and I said, let's think about developing a separate contract that had a similar scope or the same scope that's just devoted to the small business community. Let's provide a mechanism for our customers to be able to come and decide that this can be met by small businesses and that they're only going to have to compete it within small businesses. But not just small business categories. Let's talk about hub zones. Let's talk about service-disabled veterans. Let's talk about 8As and women-owned businesses and be able to build a vehicle that they can come to and go, okay, my agency is short on its service-disabled veteran goals. These are some very qualified businesses who can meet some of these IT needs that we have out there. Let's compete these orders in the service-disabled veteran pool and make awards, and let's make our goals. So we awarded this contract back in 2014, and we have seen that 50% of the orders that go through our vehicle are now going through the small business vehicle. It's not just 50% of the orders, it's 50% of the dollars. So we're seeing an enormous growth in the small business utilization through these types of contracts because of that. And I think it was just being, you know, taking a bold move and saying, listen, we're going to do this, because we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know that customers, how they were going to react to it. I mean, although we talked to them and they said, oh, this sounds like a good idea. But typically in the past, it was, you know, 90% of the IT type solution buying was done through other than small businesses. We're seeing transactions go through our small business contract in the hundreds of millions of dollars, which is dramatically changing, you know, the buying habits for, and it certainly helps make the government-wide goal for the small business. Just this past year, the government was able to meet its for the first time its small business goals, and we like to think that we played a part in that, because we're trying to set up a mechanism so that, you know, make it very easy for those government customers to be able to do those set-asides and to get what they need. And for those customers to feel and to trust that when they do that, they are going to be dealing with good businesses. They're going to be dealing with businesses who went through a very rigorous source selection process to prove that they're able to do this work. They're not just small businesses out there that are, you know, saying they can do this work. They've already shown us that they can do this work.
How does NITAC assist federal agencies to accomplish their mission? We will ask its director, Rob Cohen, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.